Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. And we're going to look at the whole chapter, but let's read verse 1 through 6 for now. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women also are likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine or beer or what have you, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." And this is my series on John the Baptist. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand the Word of God as we study it today. Lord, help us to be convicted to follow Jesus Christ in the way, in the manner that He shows us we ought to do. That we would be an example to those that are lost and on their way to hell. Lord, help us to live right, and help us to preach, to teach, to show a good example, what have you, so that sinners, as the hymn says, would be converted unto thee, and thy name glorified. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're picking up from last time. The message was to the Christian to keep living right and continue to look and to live for Christ's return. What is often called the blessed hope, and I'll get to that in a second, the return of Christ. And next time we'll get back to Malachi chapter 4. And it first speaks to the lost and then to the Christian, those that are looking for His return. If you're looking for His return, then Titus chapter 2 is for you. Now, all this is boring stuff. All of this is passé. Nobody cares about this anymore. Old-fashioned, what have you. But it says that the old people, old Christians, old mature believers, ought to be sober. And it doesn't mean necessarily that they shouldn't drink, but to be sober-minded. Hey, we're saved. The Bible tells us how to live. Let's do that. Hey, Jesus is coming back. Let's live so that when He does come back, He likes what He finds us doing. To be sober-minded, to be about the Father's business. Grave, again, it has to do with having a right mind. Temperate or moderate, and here you can talk about alcohol. And in the next verse, we'll explore that further. To be sound in faith and in charity, which means giving. Giving out of a heart of love. In patience. Ooh, that's a hard one. And the aged women likewise. That their behavior, the way that they conduct their lives, the things that they do, the things they say, would reflect holiness. And we've said before that the word holiness means to be separated unto God and to good works. That their behavior would reflect the fact that, hey, they've been changed. Don't be false accusers. If I can interject, it's not in the list, but hey, don't gossip. Don't talk about people behind their back. Don't invent things, what have you. Just speak the truth. Not given to much wine. You know, there's no verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not drink. There are many warnings against drunkenness. There are many warnings against alcohol and how it will seduce you and cause you to lose your job, your family, etc. Or you can get drunk, get behind the wheel of the car, and end up in Angola because you ran over somebody. Be careful with alcohol. Again, I know that some denominations teach thou shalt not drink, but the Bible doesn't teach that. And in fact, Jesus himself at the wedding in Cana, he drank wine. And he drank it at the Last Supper. And he said, I'm not going to drink it again until we all get together in heaven. And then I'm going to drink it with you again. Going along with the sober and grave and temperate, what have you, be responsible. Be responsible. And I'll leave that off. But to the older women, be teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women also to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, this whole list. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Oh, she says that she's a Christian, but look at all the stuff she does behind everybody's back, behind her husband's back. You understand that you represent Christ. You're his ambassador, as we've said before. And we ought to live right as representatives of the Lord so that people would say, well, you know, this person seems to live right, doesn't do the wrong thing, does the right thing, isn't carrying on or whatever. Maybe there's something to this gospel after all. But let's look at verse 7. In all things showing yourself a pattern of good works. Not, oh, I did a good thing, I gave an offering bucket. But your lifestyle all through the week and all through your life would be that of a good Christian, a good moral person, if you will. Though we know that being a good person and doing good works is not enough to get you to heaven. But James said, the Apostle James, he said, you say you're a Christian? That's good. Show me, demonstrate your faith by doing good works. Good works cannot save, but the saved ought to do good works. Let's jump to verse 9. He says, exhort servants or encourage servants to be obedient unto their own masters. Now, maybe that's a little out of date, but it says to please them well in all things, not answering again. Again, we don't have masters today, but we have parents and teachers and cops and bosses. Oh, and by the way, we have God, figures of authority. Don't answer again. Don't talk back. Hey, that's good advice. If you didn't talk back to your parents, and you didn't talk back to your teacher, and you didn't talk back to the cop when you got stopped for speeding, and you didn't talk back to the boss, it demonstrates a right spirit, a humble spirit. Not arrogant, not haughty, not fighting back, not talking back. It shows, hopefully, that you're a child of God. Again, he gives this long list of things, qualities that we ought to strive toward, behaviors that we ought to have. But in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. If you live right and do right and have a humble and meek and quiet attitude and what have you, that's what Jesus went to the cross for, to redeem you and to have you live right. But it talks about that glorious appearing, the wonderful appearing, the majestic appearing of Jesus Christ. It's a blessed hope. I know often that this word blessed, it's often mispronounced. And I've said it in the past, you've heard it in the past. You've heard the phrase, blessed hope. But the word blessed, it means something worthy of worship. While blessed, same spelling, B-L-E-S-S-E-D. To be blessed means to confer well-being or prosperity or good vibes or what have you upon something or someone. The blessed hope. To be blessed means to be happy. It means to be fortunate and well off. In the Greek, makarios, happy, well off, fortunate, what have you. Salvation is a great blessing that God gave us, and we're happy and fortunate and well off. Hey, we're going to heaven. How much more well off can you be than, hey, my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to heaven. So the blessed hope, the hope that Jesus will come back, is a happy hope that he's coming back for his faithful. And we've seen this word blessed. Everybody knows this. In Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus kicks off the Sermon on the Mount, it says that, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart. It's a happy thing to live right and to have all of these blessings in your life. But let's move on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll pick it up at verse 13 and 14, I suppose. Paul is saying, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning them which are asleep." And we briefly touched on this last time, this word, asleep. It means to die in faith. It means to die in Christ. A Christian who dies, a Christian who has this hope and is living right. It says he went to sleep because one day he's going to wake up. The resurrection, if you will. We have a blessed hope. But Paul says, don't be sorrowful as others that have no hope. If I leave here, get hit by a bus, I'll open my eyes and I'll be in heaven. I'm not looking for that to happen, but I'm not worried. I've got hope. A sinner man who isn't a Christian, who doesn't know the Lord, he doesn't have any hope at all. And that's one of the reasons why so many turn to drugs and all sorts of destructive behavior and suicide and what have you. They have no hope. They have no hope. But we have a happy hope. Praise God, praise God, praise God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's a long passage, but Paul says that he would rather be absent from his body and to be present with the Lord. And I've talked about this before a couple of weeks ago. We have all sorts of obligations. We have people that we care about, our families or what have you. We have responsibility. You know, maybe you'd like to pay off the mortgage or whatever the case before you die. We all have obligations, but when we get to heaven, we won't have any more cares at all. But the theme of this sermon, when we get saved, God writes our name down and says, yep, he's going to heaven. If he dies tomorrow, if he dies 50 years from now, he's going to heaven. There's a lot that I want to say. I really don't have time to do it. But the scriptures teach that it's a sure thing. And whether we're here, going to work every day, doing whatever, and the toil that we do, the things that we have to put up with here, what have you, doesn't matter because we're on our way to heaven. Again, there's the theme. But Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, like I said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And the passage is talking about the return of Christ, but specifically about the rapture. And again, it's a long passage, but it says that when the rapture occurs, when that trumpet blows, everyone that's asleep, that died in faith with that hope in their heart, they're going to come up out of the ground and they're going to rise. They're going to go to heaven. But every Christian that is alive at that point, they too will go up with them. It's called the rapture. I know you've heard it taught. And I'd like to spend more time, but I just simply don't have that time. But when we die in faith, when we go asleep. Our spirits go to heaven, though they put our body in the ground. But that blessed hope is that as Christ returns, we come up out of the ground. We enjoy the resurrection, and we go to heaven. We go to heaven. But Paul riffs on this a bit. In verse 17, it says that we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with those that come up out of the ground. We're going to go into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he closes out the passage saying, hey, you guys, comfort one another with these words. Again, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that when you surrender your heart to the Lord, you're His. He owns you. And He's yours. And from that point on, you're going to heaven. And as you live for Him and study His Word and get to know Him, spend time in prayer, what have you, Sunday school, what have you, and as you go through times of adversity and He comforts you, you get a taste of heaven in your heart. Yes, I'm looking forward to heaven, the streets of gold, all of that stuff, but heaven is in my heart, and it can be in your heart if you but follow Him. But there's one more thing I want to look at. Why is the preaching of the rapture necessary? And we looked at 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, that if you have this hope in yourself, you purify yourself. You'll want to do, as we started the program, living right. Live right, according to that list we had, of being sober-minded and not talking back to authority, what have you. You'll have this cleansing that goes on in your life. There's the idea that, well, Jesus could come back in any minute. Well, I don't know when that's going to be. They invited me. I'm going to go Saturday night and see if I can do something wrong. But what if Jesus comes back Saturday night while you're doing something wrong? The trumpet blows and you're too busy partying and don't hear it. Now, I don't think that going to the bar once is going to cause you to go to hell. I'm not saying that. But the idea that you're no longer living right, you're no longer looking for His return. And again, every man that has this hope of the rapture in his heart, he'll cleanse himself. He'll clean up his own act, if you will. But Matthew chapter 25, there's the parable of the 10 virgins. I won't read it all. There were 5 that were wise and lived right. And there were 5 that were foolish and just got kind of lazy. And they went to the bar sometimes on Saturday night or what have you. But it says that as the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all slumbered and slept. I mean, it's been 2,000 years and Jesus hadn't come back. They all slumbered and slept. But then the cry was, the bridegroom cometh. Midnight came. Paul Revere, as it was, rode through the city saying, hey, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming, the bridegroom's coming. Go you out to meet Him. Oops, time to wake up. And the 5 wise virgins had oil in their lamps. They were ready to go. And the foolish, who were spending too much time on Saturday night, they ran out of oil. And they're talking about oil lamps. Today we have candles, which is solid oil. But this was liquid oil, an oil lamp. You can buy them at the drugstore. Their lamps were empty. Oh, I got to go buy some more because I got to have oil. I got to be able to light my little light so I can see to get over there. So they went out to go buy more, and the bridegroom came. And all the wise virgins went in, and the door was shut. Such a sad thing. The door was shut. And those other virgins, they came and said, I got some oil now, I can see now. But the door shut. And he says, I don't even know who you are. I mean, you weren't living for me. You weren't looking for my return. Hey, the door's shut. In Matthew 7, it's the same story. It says, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And didn't we cast out a bunch of demon spirits in your name? And in your name we did, oh, so many wonderful works. We gave here and we prayed for that and what have you. But their eyes were not on Christ. They did a lot of things, but they didn't spend time loving Jesus. The bridegroom came, and the door is shut. But verse 13, here in chapter 25 of Matthew, watch therefore, for you don't know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. Trim your lamps. Get your heart right. Start living for God again. Because you don't know when He's coming. And you don't know when that door will be shut. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.